we sinned, we brought sin into the world, man is cruel, you know, we did all that. God's not responsible for the sin in the world. We are. So that doesn't matter. What God's saying is, I have a solution, and here it is, and it's wonderful. I have my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're always trying to make things hard. We're always trying to, I've been seeing lately, it's like, if we're not Jewish, if we're not Israelites, we weren't under the old covenant. Because that was covenant was made between them and God. Now, there are people that got into that. But that we got into the brand new covenant, the good one, without any law. But Jesus said, I'm not saying that the law is not important. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. I was talking to a young man yesterday. He goes to it's awful. He goes to this church, and he loves Jesus. I can see it in him. He strives to know Jesus. But he goes to a church that is just full of law and works. He said, what do you do? What do you do when you're not doing good and you're risking losing your salvation? I was like, what are you talking about? I said, first of all, your good works have nothing to do with your salvation. All your works are a filthy rag. You can't do the goodest of good works to get into heaven. So I said, what good works show you, when you start to do good works, that shows you that you're in fellowship with your Father. I said, that's like a marriage. When you're in love with somebody, you do what pleases them. And when you're in love with God, you do what pleases Him. And that's just, it's not something I have to do this to make God happy. God is pleased with us, whether we're being a jerk or whether we're being perfect. So it has nothing to do with works. And my heart hurt for this guy, because I can see he wants to know God, but he's messed up in this idea that he has to make God happy to be saved. I'm like, whoa, first of all, you can't do enough good things. We know that. So this all is kind of, I've been having this idea in my head. I was reading Basileia Schlink's book about her, kind of her autobiography, and I had no idea. I thought my dad was kind of an anomaly, because he was a pastor before he was saved. you get saved and then you become a pastor. That's normal. But actually, it was funny. She's talking about all these ministers who were in her life as a child, and then a teenager, and then as an adult, and none of them were saved. They didn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They didn't. I was talking to somebody yesterday. He goes, "Oh yeah, I mean, you either became a lawyer or a doctor, and the next best thing was you become a preacher, you know, a pastor." And it's like people do that without even knowing who God is. And so the problem is then the world has no idea who God is, because it's just a job. I mean, my dad loved the idea. Hey, I'll become a pastor. I get paid, and I get to work one day a week. This is great. I mean, what a good job that is. That's fantastic. And then Jesus destroyed him. He fell in love with Jesus. But you know what that is? I mean, when you get destroyed, that means that you don't have to worry about making decisions yourself. You know, this guy that I work with, that's one of the greatest things. When I worked for myself, man, I had to deal with the customers. I had to get paid. You know, I had to make sure they were happy. And now I just show up and I work and I do the job and I go home and, you know, the guy sells me some money once a week. That's great. I don't have to worry about all the headache. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, look, I took care of all the headache. Just show up. And I already laid it out. Here's what you do. Here's my plan. Just kind of show up. Show up and share the word. When that young man questioned you, I love that when that happens, because, man, what does that tell? That forces me into the word. I go, man, I don't have an answer for that, but I'm going to go find out, because I know I'm right. There's a lot of times when I know I'm right, but I don't know why I'm right. I'm like, I've been taught this, so I know it's accurate. I don't know why. So when somebody questions me, I go, well, I guess I have to go dig into the word and find out why I'm right. I'm right. Just so you know, I'm right. Don't question me. It's good. It makes you learn more about God. And that's just it. I mean, that, we're going to spend all eternity learning about it. There's no way we could. I mean, remember, he's been around forever, which hurts your brain to think about, but he's been around forever. Mankind cannot think about that, that God is eternal, that he has no beginning and he has no end. That doesn't make any sense. And so it's good. I loved talking with that man yesterday. And what was great is we had just a nice dialogue. He wasn't condemning anything I said to him, and I wasn't condemning anything he said. I was like, man, you are under a burden, and that's not from God. I wanted to say that, but I didn't say it because I'm working on him slowly. We'll get him here in the next couple of months. So it's, you gotta know the word, because the church can come up with some dumb ideas that seem holy, but they're not. They're of the devil. The devil puts you in bondage. God will never put you in bondage. He sets you free. If you're under bondage, first of all, you're looking at it wrong, or it's the devil. A lot of times we misinterpret the word. You know, James is one of my favorite books in the Bible. People are like, why? It's so heavy. I'm like, no, it's great. You're reading it wrong. If it's heavy, you're not reading it correctly. It's like, that's where people make religions out of certain passages. It's because they're reading it wrong. And I'm like, it has to agree with the whole rest of the Bible. I love, you know me, I love getting into, I like listening to guys who are, whoever those people that, apologetics. I love listening to those guys. It's fun. I know the truth. It's not important. But it's fun to know that kind of stuff. To, you know, they're like, well, the answer to this is that, and this is that. And I love all that stuff. But that's not relationship. That's head knowledge. And like the empty bunny, the empty chocolate bunny, that's just head knowledge. That's sad. You're not, there's no life in that. When you get into the middle of it, there's no life. The life is all in the marrow, in the, you know, in the beating heart, and the, you know, all the gushy stuff inside. That's where the life is. So I am going to read. And I'm gonna say one more thing, and then I'm gonna get into the chapter. A couple weeks ago, I said this kind of last week as a testimony. God wants us to be real with Him. Like on that trip, I was yelling at Him for the rain. My wife was upset. I didn't like that. I didn't want my wife to be upset. I love my wife, and I want her to be happy. We have to be real with God. That's the way David was. You see that all through the Psalms. First of all, he comes in and he's like, God, everything's falling apart. I mean, David, you should know God is God and he's taking care of everything. But he did. He just got right in front of God and he just let it all out. And then by the end of it, you always see, he's like, all right, I forgot. You're God and you're going to take care of me. Nobody can come against me. He had to remind himself. That's why the Bible always tells you, every day you have to remind yourself who you are in Christ. God. You know, I mean, do you ever have that thought in your head? I could never be. Why do you want to use me, God? Why? And then God has to remind you, hey, I'm in you to will and to do. Your righteousness is in your faith, not in any of your works. You know, you're my beloved son. You know, you're my beloved daughter. I forgot. How easy it is to forget who we are. How? I mean, I don't know why, but the Bible tells us it, and I always thought, well, that's ridiculous. I'll never forget. And as an adult, I go, man, I forget all the time who I am. You got to remind yourself who you are in Christ. So, I am going to read in Acts. Acts is a good book. Chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians and the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministrations. All right, so. And it's heaps of burden on. You guys aren't doing the right thing. You know, it's good. It's good. I mean, I'm not saying it's good to take care of the widows. That's, God tells us to do that. But people make things into a laws and they put burdens on people. God, if God tells you to do something, that doesn't mean he told somebody else to do something. I think I read that in one of Luther's commentaries one time, and I've said this before, but God did not make you David or Daniel or Moses. He made you, you, and he made you for a purpose, and it's not for somebody else's purpose. It's the purpose that he has you for. And so don't get mad at somebody else if they're not doing your purpose. Hey, God said for me to do this, and you got to help. It's like, no, no. If God didn't give that for them to do, don't take them away from what God has for them to do. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them, and they said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. Here we go. All right. So what do? You go to the Holy Spirit. We need men who hear the Holy Spirit. There's not enough of that. I was talking to Z the other day, Pastor Z, because I always have a problem with these big churches. And I don't understand them. I'm like, I go in and I see these people and I know they love Jesus. And I hear the message and it's kind of milky. And I'm like, I don't understand. God, is this blessing you? And he said, David, those churches are full of sheep. And I was like, what does that mean? He goes, it's their people. What is a sheep? What does a sheep do? A sheep has, you have to make sure it doesn't fall in a ditch. You have to clean it. You have to, he goes, that's not your church. The church you go to is, they're full of disciples. They're not people that you need to hold their hand. They're people that go home and they read their Bible. They're people that spend time with God. Those churches are full of people that just want to be fed every week. They want someone to hold their hand. They want to go to a nice meeting that tells them how to feel. And it's like, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. There's a purpose for that. I don't know why I got on that tangent. Probably have to delete that. But it's important because, I mean, I know everyone that's here, your desire is to know God fully, not just to go and feel good. And I feel sad for those people because it's not even their fault. I always get it into the world. You know, when the world comes at you, it's not their fault. They've been taught wrong their entire life. They've been taught this is what church is. They've been taught this is how church is, you know, this is what's important. And it's like, no, man, you're missing it. You have no idea what it is to have the Spirit welling up within you and you're just so full of joy and you just can't wait to tell somebody. And that's not because there's smoke and lights for the worship. I mean, you can worship God with a piano or a guitar or just your voice. I mean, that's the Church of Christ. They just use their voice. The problem is they make a religion out of that. Oh, you can't have instruments because they're not in the New Testament. That's dumb. There's a lot of things that aren't in the New Testament. Do you not use the internet? That's not in the New Testament. God loves instruments. He created them. They're important. They're fun. They help keep us in time. You know, help us know what tune to sing. If you're relying on the voice, it's funny. I love music. And I was watching a video the other day, and the guy was talking about how things were recorded 100 years ago and 50 years ago, you know, back in the, wow, you know, the 70s. That was more than 50 years ago. Anyways, and then he shows how it's recorded nowadays, and they take all this technology and they make everything perfect. And they go, it's so unreal. There's no life to it because a human voice isn't perfect. It doesn't always sing perfectly on pitch, but that's what's so real and so beautiful about it. If everything is perfect, then it's robotic and it's sterile and there's no life to it. When you go into a forest, the trees aren't all lined up. There's one here and one there, and two next to each other that are, you know, competing for the same water. You know, flowers are all over the place. That's beautiful. Why are we trying to? Anyway, so, all right. We give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So it's good. You ask God. God. Who should we put over this thing? You know, who do we put over the kids' ministry? Who do we put over taking care of the widows? First of all, you need to find men that hear from the Holy Spirit, because then they're not relying on their own wisdom. When you rely on your own wisdom, you're going to mess it up. But when you hear from the Holy Spirit, man, This is going to be awesome. And if you got seven guys and they're all hearing from the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you it's going to line up. So if you had two, I don't know, you could mess things up because you could kind of, I don't know. But when you got seven, I think we have seven. Do we have seven? Something like that. It's close. We lost Larry and Danny. But, you know. It's good. But you know, the thing is they're still the body. That's the problem is churches go, well, this is this church and this is that church. But you know what? We're not the church. We're not churches. We're the church. We're a body. One body. You know. So one church may fulfill one thing and one we all need to get together. That's the problem. You know, we have churches full of prophets and that gets all kind of weird and churches full of, you know, because they're all, we went to a meeting one time and they were saying all sorts of weird stuff over us. And I'm like, man, I don't receive any of that. They're like, well, you just need to speak it and maybe the Lord will speak into you. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. You go spend time with God and you hear him. And then if you hear something for me, then you come tell me and then I'll take it before God and ask him if you're right. Because I hear from God. I know all you guys hear from God. Even if you don't know it, you do. He's talking to you daily. He's standing right beside you, talking to you, giving you words, giving you wisdom, telling you things to do. Sometimes it's really loud. Sometimes it's very quiet. Sometimes he's like, hey, I told you to do that, and you didn't do it. And see how it messed up? I go, yeah, I see that. I messed up. I should have obeyed you. I heard you. So the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and I don't know any of these names, Nicholas, the proselyte and of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. It's good. When you get somebody before a task, you lay your hands on them. Lord, thank you for these mighty men or women who listen to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to pray over them. It's good. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. It's good. When you see the authority of God, people are drawn to that. The problem is a lot of times that'll happen in ministries. There's a ministry or a local one where the guy, I know the guy, loves God with all his heart and hears from God and does mighty things of God, and people are drawn to that. The problem is if those people are there for the wrong reason, if they're there because it's exciting or, you know, it's like you got to be there because you want to know more about God, you know. It's like when I'm on a job site and there's a guy there that knows more than me, I'm going to hang out with that guy. I love that because I'm going to learn something. I'm going to learn something from that guy. It's good because he knows more than me. He might hear something and then I'll learn from that. And then I'll be all the more powerful for God. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased. Okay, I read all that. Sorry. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. That's for today. You know, there's some churches that say that was just for then. That's ridiculous. That is for today. Remember, but what's interesting is why did Jesus come? Jesus came. He didn't come to conquer the Romans. He came to save our souls. There's this movie out, totally secular movie. It's Dune. You know, it's an old book. And I realized the other day, because I enjoy science fiction, and I realized the whole purpose of that movie was what the Jews thought Jesus was supposed to be. It's about the Messiah coming to destroy the enemy. And just, it's like, wow. I mean, that would be exciting. But that's not even important. If you have the whole world and you lose your soul, and that's what if Jesus came as that Messiah, if he came as the Messiah that was going to conquer, you know, you didn't, your soul is lost. So they would have been pointless. He didn't come for that. He came as the Savior Messiah to save your soul so that you could spend an eternity with him. He's not worried. We're all carnal. We're all thinking about, man, I'm being abused by the big corporations and, you know, my wretched government. Like, who cares? Can God not bless you in that? Can God not put you, can God not bless Joseph and make him the number two man in Egypt? And he didn't make Egypt a Christian nation. Egypt was still evil and wicked and worshiped Ra, and yet his guy was the number two guy. He didn't take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of Babylon and make it something else. He put them through the fire. And they said, hey, we're going to go through this fire. And if we die, we die. And if we don't, we don't. But we're listening to God. And they went in. And not a hair on their head was singed. That's ridiculous. They didn't even smell like smoke. That's even the more ridiculous part. They were in midst of all that fire. They didn't even smell like smoke. And Jesus was there, and he walked them through. And he came out. And the king of Babylon was like, whoa, I'm an idiot. I should have been listening to these guys. I think that's... The Babylon Bee did something around Christmas time. They did something about the disciples and about how they're like, well, they're always kind of pushing the envelope, and I'm kind of cringy. You're like, hey. it's about that Jesus didn't raise from the dead, and then the disciples were all like, hey, let's go, be massacred and martyred and all that kind of stuff for something that didn't really happen. It's like, yeah, you're not gonna do that to your own body. You're not going to do that to yourself if it didn't really happen. They saw Jesus, and they saw that he raised from the dead, and they were willing to give their life so that others might know. Remember, who was coming after him? It wasn't Rome. Rome didn't care. It was the church. The church was coming after him because they were ruining their deal. Hey, we have all these people in line. We got them full of fear. We got them doing what we want them to do. And you're coming in and telling them they're free? They don't. That they're not under the law anymore. That Jesus fulfilled the law. That Jesus said. That's one thing that my dad said that I love. That I love telling people. Jesus took the law and he took it from a burden to a blessing. It's not you shall not. It's you shall not. Man, that's what God does. He takes something. I mean, he only put the law there in the first place just to show us we couldn't do it. That's the only purpose. And then the Israelites, we would have done the same thing. I know the Israelites were like, we can do it, and we would have done the same thing. Because when you get excited, somebody amazing shows up and they're like, hey, if you do this, everything will be great. And we're like, we can do it. And you can't. You can't. You maybe do it for 10 seconds. And then some horrible thought comes into your head. Some guy steps on your shoe and you want to punch him. You're like, well, Jesus said if you break any of the commandments, you've broken them all. I'm like, okay, well. And so then me personally, in my mind, I'd be like, well, I can't keep any of these. I'm not even going to try. Other people will still try. I got to do it. That guy yesterday, that's awful. What do you do to keep your salvation? I'm like, what do you mean? Your salvation is in the hand of God. God gave it to you. He's not going to take it from you. You can't do anything. You could be wretched the rest of your life. You won't, because you're going to be growing in Jesus. Jesus is in you. And I can say to people, well, what if they're wretched? And then they didn't know Jesus to start with. Because when you know Jesus and you fall in love with Jesus, things happen to you. You are not the same person. Some people, it's instantaneous. Some people, it takes years. Some things happen really quick, and then other things take a long time. But God, if you knew everything immediately, it would be confusing, and you wouldn't be able to do anything with it. That's why God teaches us slowly, so you get it. And sometimes you have to go back and review. Like teachers do that. You review. Hey, let's review that. You already learned that, and you think you know it already, and you've already forgot. You already forgot what I told you. You're living under the law again. Oh, yeah, I'm living under the law again. I'm not under the law. I'm under the gospel. I'm under grace. The devil likes to put you under the law because then he can make you feel bad about stuff, and then you worry about it, and then you stop thinking about God and what God wants and hearing God because you're worried about your own working you out to your own salvation. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation, but that's not justification, that's sanctification. Jesus already saved us. Your sins are covered, past, present, future, but the Bible still tells us to go ask God forgiveness for our sins. It's not because of our salvation, it's because you want relationship with God, and he already forgave you, but if you sin against God, then you're thinking, oh man, I sinned against God, I can't spend time with God. God's like saying, hey, I'm telling you to ask me forgiveness for you, not for me. I already forgave you. Remember? Your sins are buried in the ocean, deeper than whatever. They're covered. Covered in the blood. They're never coming back. I don't even think about them anymore. But you think about them. That's the problem, is you think about your sins. and they're keeping you from spending time with God. I hate it when people say to me, they'll go, I'm not good enough to come before God. I'm not good enough to come to church. And I know I say this all the time. You're exactly the person that God wants in church. Exactly. So that he can love on you. He's not worried about your garbage. He said he'll take care of that. Just come and have a relationship. And Stephen was full of faith and power and great wonders. Oh, yeah. And then and there arose in the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the libertines. Those libertines. God, we have those guys today, too. And the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them, the Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. All right. Hey, you're young. I mean, he was a young guy. We don't know how. I think he was teenager-ish. How can you hear from God? You're too young. Man, don't ever tell a young person that. That's wicked. Man, young people can hear from God. Little kids hear from God because they don't have a bunch of adult grown-up crud in their head. They can hear. God tells them something and it's pure to them. They don't have to sift through all the junk we've learned. Teenagers are the same way. Man, when they're on fire, they're on fire. They'll do anything for God. And you're like, aren't you thinking about it? I mean, you could, an adult would be like, well, you could get hurt or you could lose your job or this all. The teenager's like, no, God, all of it. And that's the way we should be. God's already, he just all the way. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Man, that's good. Stephen didn't have to defend himself. He just said, hey, he was just speaking the word of God, and the word of God is so powerful you can't come against it. So that's why when God, you know, your fear would be like, well, what if this isn't the word of God? That's not the way you need to be. You are a child of God. And when God tells you to say something, you say it. And then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Guys, anything like that happen lately? People making up stuff to tear people down. It's like, golly. When you have the truth, the only thing they could do is make up a lie. But you don't even have to worry about it. Again, it's funny that they said it Moses first. They spoke against Moses and God. Because again, remember who their God was. Their God is the law. Their God isn't God. They don't. They're trying to keep the law to make God happy. So really, their God was the law. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law." You know it didn't happen. You know it didn't happen because when you speak, when God gives you things to say, it's perfect. And they don't, it said earlier, they couldn't do anything against what he said. They knew it wasn't true, so they had to make stuff up. He didn't say anything. I mean, God says, hey, I love you. Hey, I came for you. I sent my son. Hey, and I sent my Holy Spirit back. What's wrong with that? I mean, why would anybody have a problem with that? Jesus was healing people, and they were like, oh, you healed somebody on Sunday. He's like, what's wrong? I just healed this man. You're worried that it's Sunday or Saturday, Friday night, we know whenever it was. That's what you're worried about. Not that the fact that this man who's been suffering his entire life is now healed, you're worried that I did it on the wrong day. You have no idea who God is if you think that's important to God. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. So that's a lie. Because he didn't say it. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. So Jesus said, hey, you don't have to fulfill the law anymore because I did it and now I'm in you. I'm in you to will and to do. I fulfilled it. You can't. You never can, you never will. I fulfilled it. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as they had seen the face of an angel. It's like, they can't say anything against him except for lies. And they see him, they're like, golly, what are we doing? This guy hasn't done anything. And we're going to crucify him. We're just going to take this guy down. Why? I mean, because when I don't know, have you ever been around somebody? Like, I remember in high school, there was this girl, and she loved Jesus, and it irked me that she loved Jesus more than me. And then God showed me, we all sin equally, so don't worry about it. I was like, oh, okay. Jesus tells me all the time, goes, God, am I far enough in my walk? Jesus said, hey, is it your job to grow you up, or is it mine? I go, okay, I'll shut up now. I'll just listen to you. It's your job to grow me up. It's my job just to spend time with you. You'll tell me what to do, when to do, and how to do it. It's not my job to be wise and think about when to do things. So you go on reading, and it's Stephen talking about, he's just going, and it's a young man, and he's just talking about all this stuff and about the Jacob and Moses, and they have nothing against him. They have no reason to persecute him, except for that he's pricking their spirit. They know, man, this guy is saying something we don't like, because it's. But you know, I mean, like I said, that's the way they were brought up. It's not like they just decided one day, hey, let's think this way. It's like they were taught, and they were taught, and they were taught, and they were taught. I'm going through Jeremiah right now. It's fun. It's mostly horrible stuff. But periodically, they'll say something. It'll be something awesome. Like Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Talks about being a tree planted by the waters. And when horrible times come, your leaves are going to be green and you're going to be producing fruit. And that's us. When things fall apart, we're going to be the salt and the light that the world sees. They're like, wait a minute, everything's falling apart and everything's gone to hell in a handbasket. And you're smiling and you're happy and you want to help me. You want to build me up. What is going on? Our fruit is just going to start. It's awesome. Because Jesus is the water and he's flowing through us. We got a river of life flowing out of us. We need to stop acting like we got nothing. Not, we don't have nothing. We have a river. You guys ever seen a river? A big one. We drove past the, you guys ever been past the Red River? It's usually just dry and muddy. After all this rain, it was full. The trees on the sides of the river, the water was up to the tops of the trees. That's how much water was in the Red River. That's us. We're like a raging river with God just pouring out of us. It doesn't matter if you can't see it. It's happening. Because it's not you anyways. It's God. God's the river. God's what's filling us up. And, you know, our cup overfloweth. It's not half full, half empty. It's overflowing. It's good. You know, it's something weird. And one of the ladies admonished me to say the Lord's Prayer a lot. And to me, it's still just weird, but I say it anyways. Man, how much it builds me up. I don't even understand most of it. It doesn't make sense to me, but I say it. Because that's what Jesus said. Hey, if you want to pray, if you want a prayer that makes God happy, say this prayer. Say it just like this. You're like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, but we don't know who God is completely. We don't understand him. We don't know what makes him happy. We think being good makes him happy. No, just giving our lives to him makes him happy. God, I give myself completely to you. And I'm going to take it back from time to time, but then I'll remember and I'll give it back to you. Don't worry about that. That's the devil will get you to worry about that. Oh, I messed up. That's that guy yesterday. What do you do when you do things that make you lose your salvation? It's like, that's ridiculous. You cannot. You are in the palm of God's hand, and nothing, not even yourself, can take you out of his hand. You are worse to you than the devil, I promise you that. The devil has nothing on your own self. You beat yourself up more than the devil ever does. We give the devil way too much credit. When we see him one day, remember Monty said, roaring lion, when we see him, he's going to be a little kitten. We're like, that's what we were scared of? This little kitten? Oh, he's cute, cute little devil. I'm not afraid of you. I used to have a bumper sticker that said, poop on Satan. I love that bumper sticker. It's not very good now. I'm an adult. I'm a pastor. I can't have bumper stickers like that on my vehicle anymore. I was a teenager then. Be yourself before God. Come exactly as you are. Don't fix up. Say exactly what you're feeling. You just say all that stuff, and then the truth comes out. Oh, yeah, you love me, God. You made me who I am. I'm righteous. You made me holy. It comes out. But you got to get all the garbage out first. It's like when you, I don't know if you guys ever play golf. And golfers always say on the first two, three holes, and they do terrible. You're like, well, I'm just getting the junk out before we play the rest. And, of course, we play terrible the whole rest of the day anyways. But you always say, I'm just getting the junk out, you know. It's like, just get all your junk out. And then you can have good communion with God, because you got to get all the stuff that's in your. It's like, that's what the way it is, Mary is with me. When I want to just hang out with Mary, and Mary's got to tell me all the stuff that's bothering her. And that's good. She should. And I should shut up and listen and then just love her. That's the way we should be with God. Just get all your junk out before God, and then you can have communion with each other. It's awesome. It doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother him at all. And people think they have to be a certain way. Oh, I have to act a certain way. That's what makes God sad. Don't fix up before you come before God. Because you do that, you think, can you pray and you go, God, I pray that this rain would stop, and it didn't. What am I doing wrong? Because I know God's not wrong. It's me. I'm an idiot. It's like, God doesn't care. I'm yelling at him, God, you should stop the rain. It's making my wife upset. He doesn't care that I did that. Just be yourself with him. Allow yourself to just fall apart. We are always holding ourselves together and being who we should be instead of just being ourselves. Hallelujah. God is awesome. He loves you just as you are, and all the fixing up he's going to do. Don't fix yourself up. Let him fix you. He'll do a better job anyways. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for perfecting us. Thank you for giving us families and friends. Thank you for giving us people to be salt and light to, for bringing people into our lives to share you with, to open their eyes and open their hearts to who you are. Let our conversation be edifying today, and let us build up everybody we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Monty, can you lead us in the